Hallelujah. Gracious Father in heaven, now as we come before Thee, Lord, to learn a little bit of Thy precious Word, Lord, may Your Word guide us at this last day now more closely as we ought in Your walk with You, Lord, because of the squeeze, O Lord, that comes from every direction, Lord, not just about the politics, or about the finance, Lord, or military thing that is coming upon this world, a war, or whatever, or something about religion in our life, the religious spirit, or things like that. But Lord, it is the pressures of the everyday life that we are facing, Father. We know, Lord, the world is not in good shape. Whether we are in a rich country or in a poor country, Lord, there is always the situation, O Father, that around about us that presses upon us, Lord, to deal with the things that we are facing. And we know, Father, it's affecting many people's lives. But Lord, we are Your children this morning. We stand before You. As the people say, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us. And Lord, as Your people, Lord, we are privileged to say that, Lord, we have strength from You. Only You can provide the strength to struggle through all this life problem, O Lord, and needs and whatever we are facing, O Lord, in trials and temptation. But dear Lord, as much as we go through this life, we struggle with Your strength until we find that place of rest and peace, O Lord. But we'll continue to struggle many times. So this morning now, Father, help us to understand the importance of rest in Christ Jesus. Help us to understand, O Lord, only that peace that comes from You that will be able to sustain us, Father, in this last day. So Father, right now, Lord, may our ears be willing to hear and understand and learn, Father. I commit this time to You now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. The subject this morning is rest for the restless. This has been preached before, maybe 15 years ago or so. I guess many of probably have forgotten the importance of what it is to rest in the Lord. This text of Scripture is very well known, you know, and for those who are weary, full of problems in life and stress and having to carry a lot of burden, laboring in this life, finding no rest. And Jesus said, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now we are not talking about rest as to the physical self, physical body, but rest to the soul, to the spirit. No matter what, we men are make up of three components or three parts. We are a tripartite being. We have the body, we have the soul, and we have the spirit. When we think about the tiredness in our body, the first thing in mind many of us think about is that, well, this body is need to rest because our muscle is hurting. We have been through a lot of hard work. Maybe running around in the office or doing our house chores, studying hard, sitting down, carrying our bags, carrying our books and whatever. So our arm is hurting, our legs tired, and maybe our minds too, because we have to deal with books and figures and whatever we do in the office. So we say, well, we are tired. But many of us don't think about that tiredness is a result because it affects our inner man. It's the inner man that if it's not refreshed, the outer man will always be very weak. You take your off day on Sunday or your off day perhaps also on a Saturday. You're away from your work. You spend a little time on relaxation. Go out there somewhere in the park. Maybe you sit down and think of not doing anything. Think of doing nothing. Just relax. And then you say, oh, I'm refreshed. Why? Is it because your mind are not working? But your mind is always working. But your mind are not doing the work that you are doing every day in the office or whatever you do in the house. And neither are your, is your body not working, but you are doing a little brisk walk or something like that, and yet you don't feel tired. What affects the outer man is the inner man. So unless our soul and our spirit is at rest, we will never find rest in this physical body. People are weary of life. I know that in this fellowship here, we are a smaller group. There will always be problem that we have with one another perhaps. The smaller the church, the more often we rub shoulder. There will always be friction one to another, misunderstanding, communicational problem. And over time, sometimes we get upset. And when we get upset, our body goes into a state of a strife. We have a case over in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54 onwards. Let's see what God said about these children of Israel. There are the people whom God chose to give to them a promised land, physical, yes. And you know that God, that the children of Israel, their forefather, their ancestor, they were Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was chosen of God through whom this nation of Israel came. And the children of Israel, they knew the promise of God through Abraham, their ancestor, Isaac and Jacob also. But yet, in all that they God did with them, they're always going back into a state where they are not ever at rest. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54 onwards. I've taken the wrong verse. But let us see what King Solomon here saying after he dedicated this temple that he built for the Lord. And he is giving a history of the spirit of the children of Israel. And it was so when Solomon had made an end of praying all his prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There have not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandment and his statutes and his command and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And let this my words wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain that the cause of his servants and the cause of his people Israel in all things, at all things, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statute and to keep his commandments as at these days. Now this was after Solomon had built the temple. But before that, we already see how the children of Israel came out of Egypt, rebelled against God many times. I don't know if you can sit down and count how many times in the Bible that you find the children of Israel rebelled against God. I don't know how many times you really could count. What we have in history, in the book of God, is just perhaps only a portion of what was recorded. So now this prayer or supplication of King Solomon was made, and he knew, and the people of Israel knew, that, as it says here, that God is a God who keeps his promise. Verse 56, he have not failed one word of all his good promise, which he has promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. God will always keep his word. It is we that don't keep our words. God always keeps his words. It is us that don't. And here, with all this blessing that God poured out upon Israel in the day of King Solomon, and the prayer of Solomon was something that was clear to the children of Israel, knowing that God is God and there is none others. And so let our hearts be perfect before God. But no long after this, the children of Israel revolted, and the kingdom of Israel was split into two. What causes this? What do you say? Well, these people are not born again. Well, that's true. But what about us who are said we are born again? If these people of Israel, they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they have the Lord of God, they have the seen the miracles of God in their life, in their generation. Every generation had a chance to see God's miracles and power. But yet, they will still come to the place where they will rebel. Why? Because of carnality. And here we are today, we say that we are spiritual Israel. We are born again, we have the Holy Ghost, we have the Holy Spirit. Yet, oftentimes, we too fall into the same situation, place, same position as the children of Israel. We come to the state where we became rebellious too. Was it because of the pressure that was on you? Was it because of the pressure round about the kingdom of Israel, round about the people of Israel from the other nation, that caused them to rebel, caused them to be carnal and turn, and married other women, or to seek for kings, to seek for a king like other nations have? Is it because of what they see? Oh yeah, the five senses is always at play. We are carnal is because we are affected by the five senses. We're not just a fleshy being, but we are also sometimes, many times, carnal being too. We fall into this trap. And the Bible tells us not to be carnal. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life. So how are we come? How come we are affected by this? We are never at rest. We are never at peace. When there is absence of peace in our life, when there is an absence of rest in our life, oh yeah, there's restlessness, obviously. If you are never at rest, you're always restless. Isn't it so? Well, what did Einstein say? When a thing is in motion, it will always stay in motion. Am I not right? Newton's law. Okay. Huh? So if you are at rest, okay, you are at rest. But the moment you're not at rest, you're moving, you're always restless. You're always moving around. That's not why you get the word restless. Restless. And when we come to that, there is always this frustration. When you are wrestled, there is war within us. There is strife within us. When we are all about us, we use the five senses. There is envying. There is always the mind start to function in a way that we are no longer looking to God at all. Even James talked about the church. So we won't fight among ourselves. Huh? And then we have this mind not at rest, become restless. We have even come to the state of evil surmising. Malicious thinking. Presumptuous thought. Presuming about what is this, what that is. Brother and sister, you know, we need to grow up. As I said this many times, and this is always a fact. Now we talk about it, we share about it on Friday, we pray about these things. There will always be complainers in the church. And every church that, as you know, when we read Brother Branham's book, we are not in that church. So we don't know what's going on in Brother Branham Church. But you know that Brother Branham Church are so carnal. Oh yeah? You think Brother Branham Church, Branham Tabernacle have no problem? You'd be surprised. So we have the end time message people in this end time. Yesterday a sister called me up. I refused to talk to her. It was someone years ago I put out of the church because of a rebellious spirit. Time and time again, she would try to call me, and she tried to plead with me, and I used psychology to try to make me talk to her. She called me up, I said, when I heard her voice, I said, no, I don't want to talk to you. I put it down, and then she called me back again, and said, please, listen to what I have to say. I said, which church do you go to now? Do you go to church? She said, yes, I go to, Saturday I go to, denomination church, I can't remember the name of the church you mentioned. On Sunday, I'll go to an anti-message church. I said, so what do you want? I said, I have a question to ask. I said, you ask your pastor, because I'm not your pastor. No, please, it's very important. I said, you have a pastor. So I put it down. I'm harsh? Yes. Some people say I'm harsh. I have to be. The Bible gives us a guideline. And don't tell me that I am not doing what I'm doing. Some of you may be thinking. You should live in the day of Paul and see what happened. You read the Bible, you know what the Bible said about Paul's character. How people were whispering behind Paul's back. And it came to Paul's ears. You read about it, don't you? His countenance, his presence, you know, his writing is like this, like that, like that. But with you, he said, when I come, I will use very harsh wood. I will use very strong wood. Huh? Paul looks like he's nothing like perhaps an old man, very meek. But when he comes to the word of correction and things like that, he is hushed. Look into his word. Read about it. There's nobody, there's all the other books by John, Peter, John, yes, John. John was always talking about love, 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 huh? Isn't that right? Yes. Peter was talking about hope, faith, faith, hope. But when it comes to Paul, many of that which you find in His Word. You find that He is such a harsh man, proud, arrogant, straightforward. Because you know why? He is caring for the soul of the people. If you say that you are believers, now the Corinthian church is one good example. They are so full of carnality. Paul will deal with it in two epistles, and they are lengthy epistles. Ephesus, only one. Galatia, only one. Right? Thessalonica, two. But they are short. Look at Corinthians. And he dealt with it. He had to deal with these things. And it's not easy. Because he also knows that Brother Abraham said the church is filled up with all kinds of people, three types. Right? Believer, unbeliever, make believers. Yes, we all have that. They'll always be grumbler. That's why there was a song that we used to sing. What's it called? Grumblers. Yeah. Grumble about this, grumble about that, grumble about this. Like the children of Israel. They grumble and they grumble and they grumble. Not everybody, not all Israel, of course. People like Korah, Nathan, Dathan and all this. Yeah, oh yeah, they grumble. They grumble against Moses. Because they're never at rest. You know why? Because they don't have a revelation about what they're doing. They'll come to that later. You see the problem, the same thing here in this church. Their brother and sister, they grumble about me. They are my back too. The church has a problem. How is he going to solve the problem? You know, it's very easy to say this that we share on Friday. If anybody complain about the church, okay, not up to standard whatever it is. If you grumble and complain like that, then you try to fulfill it. Try to do whatever you can to make it better. It is very easy for a person to stay on the side and grumble. Do you know that? But it is difficult to put your hand to it. That's what the Bible says. Be not only hearers of the word, but be doers. And you want to say, complain, complain, and say, yeah, let me suggest this, then try to do it. Don't suggest to me, I can hear 10 suggestions from everyone. And everyone, these 10 things together, put together, they all contradict each other. The opinion of one to the other is not even that, not even correct, not even in unison, not even in agreement. That's what it is. As some people think that the government of Singapore had it easy. Do you know what they have gone through, our government? I mean, a lot of people grumble. Go back to the years when the PAP government came into power. Huh? They have to solve the problem when we are kicked out of Malaysia. And that's why you see our MM Lee at that time being the Prime Minister cried. Do you know that? Do you ever seen the television? I was a young boy. Malaysia kicked us out of the Federation. I was sitting there watching the news. He came on the television. He wanted to speak. He couldn't even speak. He cried and they cut it off. Second time he came back. Again he cried. And I think it was the third time that he told his feeling. And I was wondering why he cried. Now I realize why he cried. We got nothing here in Singapore. Where is our resources? And that's why he began to select those able men. Come together, think tank. How to solve the problem. And after that, when he put out all the plan that he had, five-year plan, build a house. First of all, I think it was, a company from other countries to come and set up factories in Singapore so that people get jobs. So we have Texas Instruments back then, I don't know what else it came, and Japanese company came, and US company came, so everybody got job in a factory. Then, next 5 years, man, build public housing, tear down all houses. And everybody complaining. You know what? The first time when I stepped into a HDB flat, when we got our first, my father, you know, we got only one living room and one bedroom only. When we moved in, Wow! He said, this is how, this is what we call comfort. Or we have a bathroom, a squat pant. Toilet is a squat, not the sitting type. We have a small little kitchen. We have a bedroom. We have a living room. All, of course, very tiny. But we were happy, and there were 8 of us in the house. Yes? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 of us were in the bedroom. 3 of us kids were all in the bed. My father slept on the floor. My mom slept on the floor. And the rest were sitting outside. But people are complaining. Do they ever contribute? It's easy to make a lot of noise. But if you really want to say, want to make something, you want to make a difference to this fellowship, then do something right. Don't complain. Do it right. And one of the most important things I always say is this. Your presence in the fellowship is important as an exhortation and as an edification to the others. Yes. And prayer meetings, Bible study on Friday is a time when we also come together to pull our prayer together, offer it to the Lord. Share what we have gone through so we understand. Otherwise, you know, you don't. That's what your kind of feeling is. You keep everything yourself. Now, when you have a problem, make your request known in the church. Now it has been many of us in this fellowship, they don't want to share and it comes too late. Especially the children. And sometimes, you know, you want to make a request known, you don't want to make it known. He says, brother, again, just unspoken request. I don't know what the unspoken request is, so he just says, Lord, that's an unspoken request, you need to know about that. But you need to bring out your specific need. You know, oh, thank God, God blessed me yesterday. How did God bless you? Unspoken. But we don't know how did God bless you. We want to know, don't we? No, you don't need to know. God bless you. So everybody got a blessing yesterday. Don't you all have a blessing yesterday? Oh, yeah, big and small. I don't know, too. How big and how small? They are unspoken. So next time your testimony is, I want to testify. God bless me yesterday. Thank you. And I sit down. So everybody say, yeah, God bless you. So we don't know what kind of blessing we have. You see. So the thing is that the Bible says, let your request be made known. So when the church come together and pray about the need, not only just you make a request, we go home, we pray, remember your prayer, when your request. You see. You know, so when you don't have rest, you don't have the peace, when that thing is absent, you just are in a state of restlessness. And when restlessness is there, your mind begins to work and your 5 senses become to come to play. And don't forget this, and I say this. This world is not our home. This world don't belong to God. The earth is the Lord's, but not the world. The world is the cosmos. The cosmos belongs to Satan. And he is the God of this evil world. And he is in control. Do you know? And on this first heaven, the spirits of Satan's, all his hosts of fallen demons, you know, fallen angels, they are moving around. And they are always trying to target you. Yes. As long as you are never at rest, you are easily an easy target. Do you realize that? Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 19 to 23. Galatians 5, 19 to 23. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now look at all the list of the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. If you look at all this list here, you think that all you are talking about just the natural thing. The natural act of fornication or the natural act of adultery, you know. But it also speaks of the spiritual side of it. You know, in the book of Isaiah, where we have the case of King Saul, who did not wait for Samuel to come and offer the sacrifice. And so he offered a sacrifice, he was rebellious against the Lord, and Samuel said, rebellion is as witchcraft. So we don't have to practice real witchcraft to say that we practice witchcraft. When you rebel against God is when you are actually just like practicing witchcraft. Rebellion is as witchcraft. Idolatry. What is idolatry? You don't have to have an idol in the house that you worship. A piece of wood or a piece of stone, and a stone, an image of stone, make of stone. You don't have to have that. There are many idols in our life, many of us. I don't know what your idol is. Well, one of your idols is that you love to sleep. Or you just cannot wake up on Sunday, find it hard to go to church. Oh yeah, that's my idol, man. I worship sleeping, it's so nice. Idol can be your money. Yes, it could be your money, your car. Anything you put before more important than, you know, God, that's your idol. That is true, you know. What about fornication and adultery? What is that? I'm not just talking about the natural thing that you people do, but spiritually there are many of us who committed it. When the Bible said it, oh, it's okay, you know, and you know what I mean? You contradict the Word of God. You take it, say it's okay, you know, and then you mix it with your own ideas and ideas of what the church you have gone through, or something that is in the tradition, the back of your head. Everything that we see in the natural, people practice. The spiritual side there is, like what Brother Branham said, that the spirit of adultery is the same, the spirit of fornication is the same spirit that caused a man and a woman to fornicate in the natural, as it is for the church to take the Word of God and then mix it with the doctrines of men. Do you understand that? Because the same, there's only the spirit out there, fallen spirit that is working against God. They are the adversaries of God, and so they work against God. You see. So, this is the work of the flesh. Murder, drunkenness, oh yeah, drunkenness. We're not talking about just drinking alcohol and get drunk. People are drunk practically, say, you know what? No, the problem that we have today is that we are living in the this morning I came in the car, in Michael's car, and then we're picking up my mother, and we came to near Buena Vista. So there was a new building being built. So I said, what building is that they're building now? So it looks like it's being built like a shape of a pagoda, you know, a strange looking big building. And then we tried to look, there were some posters pinned on the side of the wall. And it said, Capital Land. Yeah, okay, Capital Land. But I said, what kind of building is that? Is it office building, or is it some kind of a mall, you know? Then the poster says, building people. Ah, building people. Building people! So I said, wow. The colonial people there are making people out, using, you know, making robot or something. That's a kind of very strange slogan. Building people. So, what we are today, we have all this modern technology. Now you see in the computer now, you have all that thing out there in the world. Okay? Your PDA or your handphone or your, wow. It's getting so advanced. And my own little what we call, well, this one is at least updated, is given to me. It's updated, at least not so bad. You know? But now, wow, you can use a finger doing this, doing that, you know. Wow, you know, that's fantastic. One hand, holding one hand. I saw those kids doing it. I said, wow. I was standing there with MRT watching what they do. Whew. You look at the technology and say, people are falling for that technology. They are drunken with all these things. Yes. Back then when I was working in the hospital, okay, in the mental hospital I was working with back then in the 60s, 70s. We have a senior nursing officer. He's a man, of course. Yeah. He loves a certain made of car. And I don't remember, if I remember correct, was it a Nissan? The brand, you know, or that model thing, Nissan. Every time a new model come out, he switch and what we call trade in and get this new one. He just loved that brand, that made, that model. He said, he is drunken with that. That's what it is. Today, your young people here, you're drunken with what? Facebook? Your Twitter? And now they're coming out with all kinds of strange names. Guado, Mordo, some strange thing that they have. And then new, what do you call OS? The operating system in the computer what we have back then is, you know, MS-DOS, 0.1, 0.2, 0.3, and then they switch over to Bill Gates coming on with Windows 1, Windows 3, 2, 3.1, and then now you have Windows 7. Before that it was Windows 1 or 2 or 3 or something, then it failed, something like that. Okay, now, then you have other people, actually, Ubuntu, Linux, and all the strange names coming out. You know, every so often, they are challenging Yahoo against Google, and then what you come up with is another Firefox browser, and I don't know what else they have. Why? They want to make it much easier to use for people to, you know, interface is supposed to be easier and put a lot of things there for young people to interact, for the people of the world to interact. Facebook. Politicians in Singapore are using Facebook. Is that right? Sure. In the Philippines, the election, I was watching that news. Yeah, interview how that, who's going to win and how they advertise, you know, campaign advertise, you know, the candidates, how they use it. They use the media. They use all kinds, the Facebook, the Twitter, whatever they could use it. But you know what, young people, be very careful. I have always invitation from different brothers and sisters over on the internet. Come and join us in the Facebook. I won't want to. I don't have the time to go and chat, chit, chat, chit, chat, chit, chat, and then show myself with a photograph of my friend and who am I and my birthday, how I am and how young I am, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my children, my old man. No, I'm not going to do all that. And you know, all your information are out there. The more that you give the information out there, and don't forget, it's all locked up in the system. And that's when perhaps how the Antichrist will make use of it. You cannot run away, you know. Huh? Yes. You may run, but you cannot hide. How true that really is. They can come after you. They know everything about you. And yet you give more information to them. The wise one, don't. Don't give all the information to them. You just have your own email address. Yeah, sure. Like, so you know, but we young people especially, they come to the States like this, you are easily manipulated by others. And now we have in our problem in our church, some young ones are falling for that, are caught up with this. Boyfriend-girlfriend relationship is always there. But one thing, you know, I feel so, that's something that I cannot help. Because, you see, the media in our society, you see it on television. Right? I remember back then, some people don't feel it is real. Back then, when I was born in the 40s, okay, born in 48, I lived to the 50, 60. You know what? We don't have anything. We just have, I don't know how many shirts or trousers that I have. Today, I believe many of you would have a few dozen in the wardrobe. Yes, Sister Jolene, sure. Right? You probably have a lot there. You see, you go down there, the supermarket, or go to the mall, and say, oh, this one, I like that, so you buy. Because our money is strong, so you buy. In Africa, many of the brothers and sisters don't even have more than two or three. You see them wearing the same thing. Same shirt, same trousers. That's what it was back then in Singapore in the 50s. And, wow. You see girls when I was young, the girls, how did they wear? Well, their skirt is always very long. They're never above the knees. That was in the 50s and 60s. And if you ever watch any old movie of America back in the 50s, 60s, they always have long skirt. And even their blouse that they wear are not tight, are loose. And their sleeve is either long or up to near the, what we call the elbow. Today, no. Different. They don't even in back in the 50s, 60s, you don't see them putting on makeup. Hardly at all. Because Max Factor haven't come on the scene yet. The woman behind Max Factor was an evil woman. She made Commander scarier. When I first heard the Commander, I said, wow. She said, makeup is something seductive. She knows. She said, which woman don't like to have an afternoon with a man? What kind of command is that? Huh? Back in those 50, 60, you don't see in the newspaper advertisement where a woman, well, shows their legs and their underwears. Today you see them on the underwears. Is that right? Yes. Even what you see on the television today, what we have, feminine napkin, what we call that. You don't see those things advertised. Today they are show here on in between news or movie or whatever it is. So a silly woman, a silly young girl rolling down on the bed and say, oh, it's very comfortable, blah, 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 blah. You see what I'm talking about? The world has changed. But we don't have to change with the world. Oh yeah, they say, we have to change because the world is changing. Do we have to? Of course, I don't use an old Ford car. I can get a new car, of course, yeah, okay. I don't have to live in a wreck-a-shack house. Sure, the world is changing. You're a new, better home. Okay. Right? Oh, the world is changing. I don't have to use a printer page like this. Use a what? Electronic book. What do you have? What do you call that? E-book. Right? You can read it. You can download it. Pay for it. Like you're reading a book from the library. Sure. But your lifestyle don't have to change as far as your what we call your personality as and the way that you're what we call you express yourself.
You don't have to express yourself like Jennifer Lopez, Madonna, How do you pronounce her name? Madonna. And all of these actors and actresses, you know. Don't help too. You be yourself as a child of God. That's what it takes. Why must you be so restless? Because the world is restless. Isn't it? Yeah. You know, the world is restless. And now I can tell you, I have this email coming in from some of these brothers there. They are so fed up with President Obama. Every time they send me email about funny thing about him, you know, about President Obama. You see? And then this other one that was sent in was, he said, this man said, I was driving a car and I saw a bumper. Let's pray for Obama. Then he quoted the verse in the scripture, I can't remember. Which the brother said, when I went home and turned the Bible and I laughed. What was it? He said, let's pray his life is short and let his office another thing. Yeah, I mean, you know, you vote for the people. Maybe he didn't vote for Obama, but, well, that's the things go. But somehow you get also restless. I don't understand. Relax.
You cannot change the world. You know, we know we can't change the world. Only your life, if your life is changed, only you become a light to shine before man. And let the life of people be changed. Not the system. You can't change it. The lifestyle, you can't change it. And on the road nowadays, I can tell you that. Every time I go out there to the mall, I always see all kinds of characters. You know, the Piper family were here, the children, I brought them, I went out with them, you know, to show them around Singapore a little bit. Then I asked them one question. Now that you have been walking around this morning, you see a lot of people. Do you see how how the Singaporean dress? You say, yeah, yes, we know. How the woman dress? Yeah. You know, you won't see all this, the way that we dress in America. We have funny character dress, all kinds, some slip slot, you know, slothful, you know, and, I mean, it's just unpresentable. In China, even women now are still going out wearing pajamas. Really? You know? But they also saw how the youngest, men of young, wearing miniskirt now. So tight. I don't remember when I was on the way, on the train. Here was this lady. Young one, means she probably in the 20s or something. And all the crowd was moving and she was walking. So she know that those behind her will be looking at her. She was wearing a miniskirt so short. Even walking, she knows that it's really short. And she tried to pull it out as she walked. How silly can it be? I don't understand people. But this is the way that the world is. You don't have to follow. Young ones don't have to. Wait. I'm glad to know what Zoe was telling me, one of her friends. Finally had a boyfriend. Waiting so long. She's married. Zoe is married now, but that friend, good schoolmate, finally got a boyfriend. Very quietly, girl. You know, you don't have to go out look for the boy. You don't have to go out looking for the girl. All you have to do, you pray about it and ask the Lord. And somebody will come around. The Lord will present her or him to you. And make sure when you get to know him or her, the first thing is that you need to know whether she or he is a believer, a Christian. Not just because he's handsome. Not because she's beautiful. This is what the carnality is stirring up in, within you. And because sometimes, well, you know, the problem is the Facebook. I don't like Facebook because you see a lot of youngsters out there and they talk about boyfriend, girlfriend, relationship, a whole lot of it. And because one have it, I must have it. And so it goes. Don't let your spirit be so restless. Job. Chapter 3. And verse 25 to 26. Job chapter 3, 25 to 26. For the thing which I greatly fear is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And that's so very true. The thing that you fear the most, when you fear for nothing, that thing will haunt you for nothing. You know, I said this before, that the prophecy that which was given to us in this fellowship has taken its course. Many of us are going through this trial. God is seething. One after another, we see many of us affected. Not because you don't know the word of God, but it's because of the squeeze, the pressure of society, the thing that is affecting us. We focus on this thing, we are fearful that, oh, we are not able to, you know, control it. I lost my job, so I'm afraid. What am I going to do now? And then we get so fearful, don't know what to do, and are not at peace, that we struggle so much. Yes. Very simple. You know, when the Lord called me into the ministry, even before I actually entered into it, I knew, okay, God called. Well, that's it. I just leave it in the hand of the Lord. I walk. When the time came, I knew the time is coming that I have to give up this job of nursing and do what the Lord wanted. So when the day approaches, oh my, I was thinking, wow, it's not comfortable, you know what I mean? Because I'm not attached to an organization. To start a fellowship, and the fellowship grow from 7 to 10 to 12 to 20, I said, but this is very small. You are not secure. You know what I'm saying? Well, would you rather work for a small company or a big company? You want to work for a small company. You think the small company has security or a big company like the UOB? So you have all different thoughts, huh? Would you like to work for Google? Or you want to work for maybe someone who just started his computer, you know, work some IT things, you know, try to beat Bill Gates, or try to outdo Google. Google has been established for so many years now, and you know, this company just started last year. Google is offering you a job, and this guy is offering you a job. They offer you the same pay. Which one would you take? Definitely you won't take the small one. Because you are thinking about the bigger company, more security. So when the day came that I had to give up the job, okay, give it up now. Lord called, God already gave me the call, and I already put a fleece before the Lord, and God answered two of them. He didn't stop answering. He just really answered just like that. There, I begin for them. Not soon after that, a few months later, you know, the church split. Because one of the brothers believed that there is no fivefold ministry, only fourfold. And the church, when it has a pastor, the church is under a Nicolaitan spirit. Because the pastor, there should not be a pastor. This was the teaching of one of the ministers in America, published a book and called it The Spirit of Iniquity. So, once you have a pastor in the church, you're all under the spirit of iniquity. I am the iniquity. And you are under me. That's what he has been taught. So the church split. You know what happened? So, okay, go. But you know what, after 3 days, the brother called me up and said, but again, the church now split, you know. The time is going to be very small now, you know. So I said, don't you worry about that, brother. If God had called me into full time, he'll take care of it. Otherwise, I'll go back to work again. Starting from the bottom up. From what salary you got, it's no more. You always start from the bottom. You know. So I said, no problem. You just leave it in the hand of you. Just go at peace. Week after week, weeks after week, my mind is playing around. You know. The spirit is playing around with my head, my mind. And there are times when I sleep. And I have all kinds of bad dreams. I dream, I found myself, hey, I'm walking again. As a nurse. Yes. I got uncomfortable. Yeah, in the dream, I know that this cannot be. Very strangely. I said, this cannot be. And you see what happened? This all came. And then finally I said, Lord, you take that whole thing away. Not that I don't believe in you, but, you know, people love the church. Yeah, the church is small. I know I can go on with it. No, it's okay. Just hold back the tithes and offering. I don't increase it. I didn't take any increment for the tithe for several years. And the inflation caught up. I didn't even know about it. Because so much into the ministry. You see. That's why Brother Shankim at that time with us told me, I told you to take it. You see, there was this fear for nothing. This no real fear in the sense that my mind being worked out. And the fear that I feel the most is greatly come upon me. And you know, when you have fear, it is the opposite to faith. Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of God bringeth the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whosoever put his trust in the Lord shall be saved. So it is not just about what people will do and that affect you, but even the fear of man. Now here let me say this, that every one of us have whatever work you do. Sometimes you get into a conflict with someone and they put a fear in you. And when you put a fear in you, if you keep on thinking about this, you feel that you are being threatened. You know what? You will never be at rest too. You'll be thinking every time you walk down, come out of your house, you'll be thinking, overlooking over your shoulder or something like that, that somebody was coming after you. Sometimes this fear is so real that you, not because it is going to happen, but because you feel as if it is real. And you always think it is real. You're going to affect you. Your health will go down. So turn to the Lord and let Him take care of everything. Alright, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way that you can have peace. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ after being justified by faith. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. That's why, God has given us a sound mind, the mind of Christ. So when you have a problem with the other brother or sisters, or a problem with a colleague, don't get upset. Huh? Don't get upset with that colleague of yours, and so much so you go and tell another colleague, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Sometimes we get frustrated with talk like this. Right? Wait till I give you a piece of my mind, Jolene. you get off. I'll give you a piece of my mind. You know, if you are the mind of Christ, it's the mind of Christ. Don't simply get upset and throw that away. And the Bible also in the book of James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We know that, huh? A double-minded man is unstable. The double-minded man sounds to you, sounds to me many times like schizophrenia. A schizophrenic fella. One moment I'm Mr. Hyde. The next moment I'm Dr. Jacob. You know? Dr. Jacob, Mr. Hyde. Do you know that? That's a schizophrenia. Oh, I went to hospital. I've seen many of them like that. Yes. And back when I was in denomination at that time, that man's name is Stephen. Stephen. Next moment, he changed his name to William. I said, wow. Yes, and not soon after that, he called himself Jesus too. I said, my goodness. Yeah, he ended up in the hospital, in mental hospital. Why? Because back then, at that time in the 60s, he was dropped into the army for national service. He broke down. Why? Because he was a pampered boy in a home. Right, I'm glad that, you know, your father don't pamper you, huh? Daniel not, but I thought Daniel maybe he got pampered when he was young. Where's Nathaniel? He's not here today. Hopefully he's not pampered. Because that's what happened then during the time when the government, make it a law that all those who are, you know, born after, I think it started with 1949. That's why I escaped national service. I was born in 48. Brother Piang also escaped. But 49 onward, everyone was dropped in. Those who are 18 and above. You know? And then, wow, the hospital was full of, mental hospital was full of all this national service boy. All complained that they are under stress, they become mental, and they were all given second class ward. After that, the government says, no more second class. Too many. Too many broke down. Because what? Many of these boys, we found out they were pampered by families. Family, parents doesn't know how to raise them up to be like men. You know? Young little one at the age of 13, 14 years old, 15, 16 years old, when they get a little scolding from somebody outside, they run back to mama. Mama, mama, mama. The teacher scold me. Mama, mama. The scold me. Mama, mama. The so-and-so scold me. And then the mother will go and say, who, which one? And then go up there, take an umbrella, maybe I'm going to whack him. Huh? You are so protective of the child until that's how happened. All these cases. I was working then because I wasn't dropped into the army. I went to work as a nurse in the national. And I found, wow, there's so many of them. All of them have problems with the family, how they were raised. And this particular one who was Stephen called William and then Jesus, was in the same church that I was in. You know? And you know what the mother blamed it on? The mother blamed it on him being a Christian. But he was already in the church. For some time, even before you end up into the army. But the parents wouldn't want to admit it. And I was there in the home. I visited him in the home. Even before he broke down. I was there when he came back from school. Oh my! And the mother would put his shirt and trousers, you know, he will have to change when he come home from school, right? Oh, everything is done for him. Put him outside the bathroom for him. Everything is left for him. He doesn't help himself. He had a servant. The mother is the servant. And come to think about love, today is Mother's Day. Is it today? No. Happy Mother's Day. But don't make yourself so happy a mother that you spoil your child. You know, don't be a servant to your children. Yes, we know you love mother's love. There's nothing like mother's love. You all know that, don't you? Yes, yes or no? Children, Zoe, yes.
Amen.
Amen. There's nothing like mother's love because God had made a woman to be a mother like that. Because that is that's why God calls himself father. But that is a family instinct. That's the mother love that is within God. Like a mother hen, you know, covering the chicks from harm. That's what a mother is. Even at this age of my, I'm 62 years, my mother there is 82 and she's still mothering me sometimes. Because that is a mother's love. But there are not mothers who don't mother a child to where the child becomes so helpless, doesn't know how to deal with her, his own situation. See? Do you understand that? Alright, James 1:19. You know, sometimes when people have all the problems, they still remember after 10, 20, 30 years. They are not forgiving. There's all this resentment, the hatred is still there. You know, okay, what do, very strange. Okay, here we are. I have, you all know my doctrine, my preaching on marriage and divorce. Right? But there are still people who don't agree with me and still get upset about me teaching that. But if you don't believe what I teach, don't get upset. I talked to Brother David Rajan on the phone. He has a brother who is on the extreme side. Always quoting Brother Branham. Brother Branham said so, Brother Branham said so, Brother Gunn is wrong. You know? And I always say this, even my presentation, nobody can answer it. Nobody knows how to deal with the situation. If there is a sister in the church here today, who is 20 years old, she came to the Lord last week. She has been, have three or four husbands outside. Married one when she was 16, she married. 1 year later, divorced. Married a second one, divorced. Married a second one, divorced. So she comes to the church now at the age of 20 years old. Found Jesus Christ. She cannot get married. That's what they say. That's not what the Bible says. Oh, but Brother Abraham said so. Brother Abraham said that. I always ask him, did he ever say that? Or you just take a statement of what he said and you take that statement to be conclusive for everything. And so much extreme over in Africa that one guy said that if a girl is raped, a teenager is raped by a man, she no longer can get married because she belongs to the rapist. You see the mentality of that? Do you see that? Oh, I don't know how to describe such mind. It comes from the bottomless pit, for I can tell you. How can that be? Because they say, Paul said, he's joined to the man, he's one with the man. So she belongs to the man. You see how? Is that how you teach the Bible? Is that how the Bible is interpreted? That's why I say, interpretation of God. Everybody can interpret the word of God anyhow they like. But there's no revelation, there's no consistency in it, then you know that's from hell. That's from hell. Brahman is absolute, that's from hell. And I said, there's a false doctrine. Whether you like it or not, when you hear this on my website, remember that, Brahman said so. You believe Brahman to be the absolute, that's from hell. I'm not afraid to say that. And you can put what I said on the internet of your own website, and say whatever you like, the Brother Gunn is a devil. I always ask the brother, what do you want to make out of the Word of God? You simply take the word of Brother Abraham and make us and give us your interpretation to it. Can you understand what he's trying to say? I should send you all a quote, some quotes of Brother Abraham that Sister Piper sent me. The thing that Brother Abraham said in those years, it just not make sense. And you just want to know, and you throw it to those people who are extremists and ask them, what do you think about it? How do you interpret what Brother Abraham is saying? If you can interpret it. You know what Brother Abraham said? He says, if cause Adam to lust for her. You might even use the word lust. It's not really true. Or is it because Brother Abraham is trying to find words to use? Brother Abraham is an educated man. Limited words. Even me, I find it so hard. Word usage is not that easy. Brother Abraham, only 4 years. I got 10 years. I failed my my English because I have very bad grammar, because I don't have good English teacher. Nobody cares at that time. And I really struggle. Many of them just make it. I always make pass my English, you know. But at that time at the examination, you know, we have two different models. We always taught only one model. So when I read the question, I couldn't, wow, I said, this is very hard. So I switched over to attempt the second model, which I was never taught. And I know I will flunk. If I go back to the one I was, at least I passed. So it's only after I came into the message, I said, I better muck up my English. So I started to buy some English book and try to figure out how grammar I used. Have, and sing, tang, sang. And boy, what kind of, you know, English is so terrible. All this grammar, you know. But I'm getting at least better than what I am after so many years now. But sometimes when it comes to speak rather fast, it just frontful, trying to find words. But Brother Branham, you sitting there. You know, I was thinking, what is this? You know, I started to feel you sitting there. You see, you know what I'm saying? So whatever, I can't remember now. It's some kind of word that he's using by the Kentuckian. So he has limited words, limited education, so he may not use the right word. But people make it and say that's what it is, supposed to be touched the Lord and all that thing. Goodness me. You know. Peter. Remember Peter was a fisherman. He knows me. He's not educated. So if he was here today, Peter, you know, not speaking Hebrew, of course he speaks Hebrew, but in Hebrew, I don't know whether Hebrew was past tense, present tense or not. In Chinese, it's simple. Walaila. You know what I mean? I come already. That's a simple thing, huh? You know that, don't you? Yes. But here is simple. I came. I have come. You know. So, it's different when it comes to grammar. So, Barabram is limited. So, don't think any other way. So, alright. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stir up strife, but he that is slow to anger, appease strife. Proverbs 29:20. Now listen to this one. Proverbs 29:20. See thou a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than of him. You know, sometimes when you have a problem, don't use haste, don't be too quick. Oh, even just like this Nigerian preacher who called himself the lead apostle, so hasty to attack me on my revelation. You know what? I'm very careful of what I look in the Bible until I get everything that I can place in order before I preached. But this man just cut me down. We're very hasty with his word. You know you're going to eat your own word when you're so hasty. Huh? And people, don't try to be smart. But many people think that they are. Alright? Okay, let's quickly finish out a few more and then close it. What is self-love? Self-love versus I love myself. What's the difference? How many of you hate yourself? Let me see your hand. You hate yourself? Yeah, sometimes you may be angry. You're so frustrated you punch the wall and break your own finger. Right? Huh? But you don't hate yourself. But the problem is a lot of people have self-love so much, I mean, become so egoistic. I mean, I love myself, it's okay, you see. I love myself because I take care of my body. I love myself, I love to eat, okay, fine. You see. I mean, if I don't love myself, I don't wash myself, huh? I don't go to the toilet, I don't wash, I don't bathe. You know. But self-love is dangerous. You become so egoistic. Everything is all about yourself. Nothing else. All about yourself. Nobody else, nobody else exists, it seems. It's all about yourself. When there is a buffet, okay, everybody start. Go first! Grab all the best pieces. You know? You only think about yourself. When there is a seat in the MRT, oh, I sit. There's all the elderly lady and all coming up. Look at them, pretend to sleep. It's very common. Very common. I would sit down there, I saw down there, I saw when the elderly, the elderly men and the young people said, please, can you get up and let this elderly lady sit? Look at me. Say, yeah, get up. You have to get up. Self-love is dangerous, you know. Loving yourself is one thing. So you see, the mind, the emotion, the will, the physical side of it, the carnal side are always at play. Why? We want to be who we are in control of our own life. So much so that we don't think about others. We don't like God to control. We want to let God have control over us. But if we think that we are always knowledgeable in everything, then we are discerning other people. Body language. Body language? Oh yeah. I remember those, the body language. The brother is looking at me. I know he don't like me. Stop looking at me, brother. You know, you don't even like me. So you start to go around having all these body language, all these ideas. When the brother or sister says something, you turn it around and presume something else. Don't. You know, be able to accept and, you know, laugh at yourself. I always like the Jews. You know, here was this man was talking about who was a... He didn't realize, I mean, he has Jewish blood from his mother's side, grandmother's side. But he was a Muslim. He was in the Arabic side. You know, his father was Arab. So he was taught to pray and believe in Islam. But there is something about him that always rings the bell, being a Jew. You know, so he found out that he was from his mother's side. So he went over to... One day when he went to America, so he was in this particular place, I can't remember where he was, and saw this, a man who looked like a Jew was reading some Jewish book. You know? So went up to the man, he dressed like a, you know, Orthodox Jew type of thing, you know? So he asked the man, you dressed unusual, you know? Are you a Jew? The man say, no, I just dress it to be funny. I mean, you know, this Jew always, I like to crack jokes, you know what I mean? Yeah, I dress it. Sometimes you go around, people say, why are you dressing? I dress to be funny. Just make a joy, have a little fun. Make a life light. He said, don't take so serious when somebody says something or correct you or something. You don't like me. And then you know what happened? Because you only think about yourself. It's so important. You're protective. That you are very important. Trust becomes so become, you know, you don't trust anybody anymore. Let's close with Nehemiah. Chapter 9. Until we know to find rest, we will never have rest. Nehemiah. Verse 24, chapter 9, 24 to 31. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and give them into their hands with their kings and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and the fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, olive yards, fruit trees in abundance, so that they eat, and were filled, and became fat, and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and their wrath great provocation. Therefore thou deliver them into the hand of their enemies who vex them, and in the time of their troubled, when they cry unto you, thou hear them from heaven, heard them from heaven. And according to thy manifold mercy, thou give them saviors who save them out of the hand of their enemies. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore, left thou them in the hand of their enemies, so that they had the dominion over them. Yet when they return and cry unto thee, thou hear them from heaven again, and many times did thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testified against them that thou might bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dwell proudly, and hearken not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments. Which if a man do, he shall live in them, and withdraw the shoulder, and harden their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years did thou forbear them, and testified against them by thy spirit in thy prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore, give thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou did not utterly consume them, nor forsake them, for thou art a gracious and merciful God. This is what God is. Now, many of us are just like Israel. And I pray that you don't go too long, because one day God will just stop dealing with you. They don't have the Lord. They don't have the Holy Spirit upon them. But we don't have the Lord, but we have the Holy Spirit upon us to guide us. And yet we want to rebel, you better think twice. Because if you don't, if you said you have the Holy Spirit with you, and yet you want to rebel, the Holy Spirit tells you not to do that, you go ahead, something is wrong. Because there is a life in us that is dealing with us. Not the law, but the Spirit of life. You know, the reason why they rebel and keep on doing it is because why? They don't have rest. They don't have rest at all. Even though they were in the land of Canaan, they did not have rest. That's why God promised them a rest. And that rest is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that right? And you know one thing? Job was a man who eschewed evil. He was a man who feared God. But yet God let things happen to his life, right? How do you explain those things? How do you explain Job's pain and sorrow? You can't. But yet he said, even as the worm in my flesh, yet I will stand before God. He knows. He knew that he would stand before God. Why? He had the revelation. And until we have a revelation, we will never know how to walk according to the Word of God. If you have a revelation, that revelation stands always before you. You don't have to say, shall I? Can I? You know the revelation. This is the path to take. You take this path. Not this other path. Not this other path. Take the path that God has given you. The center. The highway. The glory. That's what it should be. Then you find, you'll find rest. All the thing that comes upon you is only temporary. Is that alright? And I pray that every one of us understand this. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. For your precious word of life given to us, Lord, to guide us in this last day. Truly, Lord, until a man comes to the revelation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, he will not know where he stands. He doesn't know where he's standing, what he's standing on, and where even he is heading. A man may read the Bible, He may go to church. But Lord, until he is born again, he will never have rest in his soul. And truly, as you said, Lord, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and ye that labor, come unto me, and I'll give thee rest. Truly, Lord, you offer this precious promise to all those that will come. In our fellowship here, Lord, there are young people still struggling, O Lord, with life, with their studies, the relationship, Lord, with the parents, relationship with their friends in school, classmate maybe, or just somebody they know on the Facebook or Twitter or whatever, Lord, that is out there on the internet. And many times, Lord, many times this God of this evil world is using all this modern technology and the influence of all these lifestyles of the people of the world to bring about the destruction, O Lord, in the life of young people. And we surely, O Lord, have seen the result of it in this last end time. As thy word have said, Lord, that the world will get more wicked. And the wickedness of man will increase in this last day. And sins will become more abound. But thou have said in the book of Matthew, where sins abound, the grace of God will do much more abundantly in the life of his own people. So, Father, I commit all these young ones in our fellowship to you, Lord. And Lord, you guide them. Show them that you love them. And if they really love you, Father, and reciprocate that love back to you, having the spirit of life in them, then Lord, get them out of all this carnality, O Father, that is working in their life, Lord. And that they should put their trust in you, for your promise never fail. And I pray, Father, for those who are in our fellowship today that have problems truly, Lord, we commit them also to you today, asking for your blessing now, even upon the parents, Lord, that give them wisdom, Lord, to be able to talk to their children. We know that many times, Father, they have failed to understand the commandment, especially those young ones, O Lord, they have failed to heed one of the 10 commandments that I have written. They shall honor the father and their mother, that their life may be long. Otherwise, Lord, even so, those who dishonor their parent, we know, Father, you have the right to cut short their life. And even father and mother should never provoke their children, Lord, but to speak to them and handle them with love and understanding. That, Lord, you may have the glory and you have preeminence, O Lord, in each and every one of our life. So we thank you today, Lord. Commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.